The stench hit me first, not the typical hell-screech miasma of promethium, unwashed bodies, and recycled air that permeated every corner of the hive. This was something different, organic yet alien, like rotting vegetation mixed with ammonia and copper. My respirator filters struggled to neutralize it as I moved deeper into the maintenance tunnels beneath Manufactorum District 37 Gamma. 23 disappearances in 17 days. The pattern had begun slowly, a single night shift worker here, a maintenance servitor there, but had accelerated rapidly over the past week. My superiors at the Adeptus Arbites precinct had initially dismissed the reports as typical underhive violence or workers simply fleeing their indentured servitude, but something about this felt wrong. The victims vanished during their shifts, tools abandoned mid-task, data slates still recording their biometric signatures moments before disappearance. The tunnel narrowed as I descended, the ferrocrete walls giving way to older sections of the hive, dating back to the original colonization of Armageddon. The lumens on my helmet cast long shadows across surfaces that hadn't seen proper maintenance in centuries. My boots splashed through shallow puddles of unidentified fluids, industrial runoff mixed with condensation from the ancient pipes overhead. I paused at a junction, consulting the archaic map displayed on my wrist-mounted auspex. Three of the disappearances had occurred within 50 meters of this location. The night shift supervisor had reported workers complaining of whispers in the darkness, fragments of phrases in old Armageddon dialects that none of them fully understood, but that filled them with inexplicable dread. The supervisor had written it off as fatigue-induced hallucinations, common enough among workers pulling 18-hour shifts in the dim light of the Manufactorum floors. The auspex chirped softly as it detected movement ahead, too small for a human, likely vermin. The underhive teemed with mutant rats and other creatures that had adapted to the toxic environment over generations. I proceeded cautiously, bolter drawn but set to low yield. Collateral damage to the hive's infrastructure would bring the Mechanicus down on the Arbites faster than an actual crime would. The passage opened into a small chamber that appeared to be an abandoned maintenance hub. Ancient cogitator terminals lined the walls, their screens long dead. But something else caught my attention, a faint greenish glow emanating from the seams between floor plates. I knelt to examine it, my gloved fingers tracing the outline of a maintenance hatch that didn't appear on my maps. When I lifted the hatch, the glow intensified. The space below was filled with a bizarre fungal growth unlike anything I'd encountered in my 15 years of service in Hellsreach. Tendrils of phosphorescent green and purple stretched across the walls of a small sub-chamber, pulsating slightly as if breathing. The growth appeared to be feeding on the industrial waste that had collected in this forgotten corner of the hive. My mind flashed to the sealed Ordozino's reports I'd accessed against protocol when the disappearances first began. The descriptions matched certain orchid spore structures, but these were different, more refined, less crude. The orcs had besieged Hellsreach multiple times throughout its history, most notably during the Second War for Armageddon. It was entirely possible that dormant spores had remained, adapting and evolving in the unique chemical soup of Hellsreach's industrial waste. I collected samples, sealing them in containment vials for analysis back at the precinct. The thought of reporting a potential Xeno's contamination made my stomach tighten. Such reports typically resulted in inquisitorial involvement, and that rarely ended well for the affected areas of the hive or those who discovered the contamination. The fungal chamber connected to another tunnel, this one clearly not part of the original hive design. It was roughly hewn, the walls bearing marks of both industrial cutting tools and what appeared to be claw marks. The tunnel sloped downward, heading deeper into the underhive. Following it brought me to territories rarely visited by Arbites patrols, the domain of hive gangs and worse. The Skull Harvesters controlled this section, a particularly vicious gang known for their ritual scarification and augmetic modifications. They maintained an uneasy truce with the Arbites, keeping more dangerous elements in check in exchange for a blind eye turned to their less extreme activities. Their territory was marked by crude symbols etched into the walls, stylized skulls with cogwheel patterns. But interspersed among these familiar markings were newer symbols I didn't recognize. Curved, organic shapes that seemed to writhe on the wall even in the static illumination of my lumen. The gang's main den was housed in an abandoned water reclamation facility, its massive filtration tanks repurposed as multi-level dwellings. I approached cautiously, using shadow and sound discipline techniques from my Arbeits training. The facility was unusually quiet for a gang stronghold. No sentries at the obvious entry points, no signs of the typical drug production or weapons modification that sustained their economy. From my vantage point in the upper gantries, I observed the central gathering area. The scene below confirmed my worst suspicions. A ritual space had been cleared in the center of what was once the main filtration chamber. Dark stains marked the floor in patterns that matched no imperial cult I recognized. At the edges of this space, gang members lay in various states of consciousness, their bodies displaying disturbing modifications. These weren't the typical crude augmetics favored by underhive dwellers. Subdermal growths pushed against their skin, creating ridges and patterns that resembled crude armor. Some had developed bony protrusions at their joints and along their spines. Their skin had taken on a greenish-gray pallor, and those who were conscious moved with unnatural aggression, pacing and snarling at one another. I documented everything with my ocular augmetics, the feed transmitting to my secure data slate. The gang appeared to be undergoing some form of transformation, whether willing or not remained unclear. Their behavior suggested a heightened aggression consistent with certain orcoid physiological traits, but the physical changes were more subtle, more insidious. One gang member stood apart from the others. His modifications were more advanced, with fully developed bony plates visible beneath his tattered clothing. He moved among the others, examining them with an unsettling clinical detachment. When he turned in my direction, I caught a glimpse of his eyes, no longer human, but yellowish with vertical pupils. I retreated before I could be discovered, following a different passage that led deeper into the facility. The evidence suggested the gang had been conducting sacrifices, likely the missing workers, offering them to whatever they called the Whispering Ones in exchange for protection or power. The question remained whether they had initiated this heresy or were merely pawns in something larger. The passage narrowed and began to slope downward again, the air growing thicker with moisture and that same alien stench I'd encountered earlier. The walls here were covered in a thin film of the same fungal growth, though less developed than in the chamber above. My boots left glowing footprints that faded after several seconds. The tunnel eventually opened into a vast chamber that defied explanation. It appeared to be an ancient storage vault, possibly dating back to the earliest days of the Hive, but it had been transformed into something that violated every tenet of the Mechanicus and Imperial doctrine. At the center stood a structure that could only be described as a shrine, though to what deity or power I couldn't say. It combined elements of technology and organic matter in ways that made my skin crawl. Augmetic components, servitor parts, cogitator fragments, even what appeared to be pieces of a sentinel walker had been fused with organic matter. But this wasn't the crude flesh-metal bonding practiced by the Mechanicus. The integration was seamless, with circuitry flowing into vein-like structures and metal components sprouting fungal growths that pulsed with electrical activity. The shrine emanated a low hum that resonated in my chest, making it difficult to breathe. Data scrolls and parchment covered in incomprehensible script hung from the ceiling, gently swaying in currents of air that seemed to originate from the shrine itself. Most disturbing were the specimens arranged around the perimeter. They appeared to be in various stages of transformation, some still recognizably human, others so altered they defied classification. None were alive, at least not in any conventional sense, but the fungal growths covering their bodies pulsed with the same rhythm as the shrine. This was tech heresy of the highest order, combined with Xeno's contamination. The integration of technology and organic matter went beyond both Imperial science and known Orcoid biology. Something new was evolving in the depths of Hellsreach, neither human nor Orc, but a terrible hybrid of both, adapted to the unique environment of the Hive. I collected additional samples and captured detailed picked recordings of the shrine. The evidence needed to reach the proper authorities, though who constituted proper in this case was unclear. The Mechanicus would want to purge the tech heresy, the Ordo Xenos would be concerned with the alien aspects, and the Ecclesiarchy would likely call for the cleansing of the entire district. As I prepared to withdraw, I noticed something I had overlooked. Behind the shrine, partially obscured by hanging data scrolls, was an opening in the wall. Unlike the rough-hewn tunnels I had traversed, this aperture was perfectly circular, its edges smooth as if cut by incredible heat. Beyond it, I could see only darkness, but the whispers I had dismissed as ventilation noise or my own paranoia seemed to emanate from that perfect circle of void. The whispers were in no language I recognized, yet somehow I understood their meaning. They spoke of transformation, of evolution, of a new form that could survive the harshness of Hell's Reach and eventually spread beyond it. They spoke of the perfect union of human ingenuity, orchid resilience, and machine precision. They spoke of hunger. I backed away, my training temporarily overwhelmed by primal fear. Whatever was happening in the depths of Hell's Reach was beyond my authority as an Arbeits officer. This required specialized intervention. As I retreated up the tunnel, I noticed my skin itched where it had been exposed to the air in the shrine chamber. Looking down, I saw tiny green spores clinging to my armor, glowing faintly in the darkness. I returned to Arbitration Precinct Delta 9 with my evidence secured in containment vessels, the fungal samples already attempting to spread through the hermetically sealed containers. The senior arbitrator took one look at my findings and immediately escalated the matter beyond our jurisdiction. Within 6 hours, a delegation of Adeptus Ministorum priests arrived, their crimson robes sweeping across the worn ferrocrete floors of our interrogation chambers. The skull harvester gang leaders we'd managed to capture during the raid sat shackled to interrogation thrones, their skin bearing the early signs of the strange fungal mechanical infection. Most exhibited the greenish pallor I'd observed in the underhive, with faint ridges forming beneath their skin in geometric patterns. The interrogation methods employed by the Ministorum priests were methodical and severe, utilizing both chemical and pain-based techniques to extract information. I observed through the one-way armor glass as the priests worked. The gang leaders' resistance crumbled faster than expected, suggesting their minds had already been compromised by whatever was growing inside them. They spoke not of chaos or any recognizable Xenos entity, but of something they called the undying hunger of Armageddon. According to their fevered confessions, this entity had existed beneath Hell's Reach since before the first war for Armageddon, perhaps even before human colonization. Their cult, which they referred to as the Broken Mask, believed that Armageddon itself was a living organism that had been wounded repeatedly by the wars that scarred its surface. The strange fungal growths were not a contamination, but the planet's attempt to heal itself by merging with its inhabitants. The gang leaders described dreams of a vast underground network spreading throughout the hive, a hybrid organism of metal, fungus, and flesh that would eventually consume and transform all of Hell's Reach. Most disturbing were their claims that certain members of the Adeptus Mechanicus had known about the entity for centuries, studying it in secret and harvesting specimens for their own research. The priests dismissed this as heretical ravings, but I noted the claim in my personal data slate for further investigation. After the interrogations concluded, I was tasked with exploring the abandoned hab blocks surrounding Manufactorum 37 Gamma, where the disappearances had first been reported. A squad of arbitrators accompanied me, along with a junior priest named Thaddeus who specialized in identifying signs of cult activity. The hab blocks had been officially condemned after structural damage during the Third War for Armageddon, but as with most uninhabitable sections of Hell's Reach, they remained populated by those desperate enough to risk collapse or toxic exposure. We found the blocks eerily empty, however, with signs of hasty evacuation, personal belongings abandoned, meals left half-eaten, doors left ajar. In the central communal area of Hab Block 897, we discovered the first hidden passage. A section of wall that appeared solid on our schematic slid aside when Thaddeus pressed a sequence of panels that corresponded to a pattern we'd seen tattooed on one of the gang leaders. The passage beyond was narrow and descended at a steep angle, its walls inscribed with dense mathematical formulas and astronomical charts. Thaddeus examined the inscriptions with growing concern. The formulas described warp phenomena with a precision that should have been impossible for underhive cultists. The star charts mapped anomalies recorded during previous Armageddon conflicts, particularly focusing on the period when the First War transitioned into a demonic incursion. These weren't the crude scratchings of superstitious gangers, but the work of educated minds with access to restricted information. We followed the passage to a chamber that must have once been a water reclamation node. It had been converted into a ritual space similar to the one I'd found beneath the Manufactorum, but more elaborate. The walls were covered in the same glowing fungal growth, but here it had been cultivated into patterns that resembled circuit boards. Data slates and cogitators lined the perimeter, many of them bearing the skull and cog insignia of the Adeptus Mechanicus. Thaddeus moved through the chamber, documenting everything with his ocular augmetics. His expression grew increasingly troubled as he examined the data slates. Many contained research notes on what was termed autonomous evolution, studies of the fungal mechanical hybrid material and its ability to adapt to both biological and mechanical systems. The research predated the current outbreak by decades, with references to similar phenomena observed after each major conflict on Armageddon. One data slate contained personnel records that confirmed the cult's claims about Mechanicus involvement. Several tech priests assigned to Hellsreach had been conducting unauthorized research into the hybrid material, classifying it as neither human nor Xenos in origin, but something entirely unique to Armageddon. They theorized that the planet's unusually high concentration of valuable minerals and its strategic position in the sector had made it a target not just for human colonization and orc invasions, but for something older and more insidious that used both as vectors for its spread. We gathered the evidence and prepared to return to the precinct when my Vox bead crackled with an urgent message from Arbitration Command. A series of murders had been reported across three mid-hive districts, all following the same pattern. Victims with augmetic enhancements found dead, their mechanical parts removed with surgical precision. I diverted my team to the most recent crime scene in Habitation Block 115 Delta, a relatively affluent area housing mid-level administratum functionaries and Mechanica support staff. The victim was a male data scribe, approximately 50 standard years old, with extensive augmetic enhancements typical of his profession. He had been found by his supervisor when he failed to report for his shift. The scene was meticulously clean, with no signs of forced entry or struggle. The victim lay on his HAB unit floor, his augmetic arms and cranial data ports removed so precisely that there was minimal blood loss. More disturbing was what had replaced them, growths of the fungal mechanical hybrid material that had integrated with his nervous system and circulatory pathways. The new augmetics pulsed with the same greenish light I'd observed in the underhive, and according to the Medikey examiner who arrived shortly after us, they appeared to be functional, more efficient than the standard Imperial augmetics they had replaced. The victim's cogitator revealed he had been researching anomalous data patterns in Hellsreach's resource distribution networks. His notes indicated he had identified systematic discrepancies in promethium allocation to certain underhive sectors. More fuel was being pumped in than could be accounted for by registered usage. He had traced these discrepancies to requisition orders bearing Mechanicus authentication codes that, when cross-referenced with official records, did not exist. As we processed the scene, reports of similar murders flooded in from across the hive. All victims had significant augmetic enhancements, all had been upgraded with the hybrid material, and all had connections to either resource management or infrastructure maintenance. The pattern suggested the perpetrators were systematically targeting individuals with access to Hellsreach's critical systems. I transmitted my findings to the inquisitorial representative who had been assigned to oversee the investigation, an acolyte named Varric, who served under Inquisitor Karamazov of the Ordo Hereticus. Varric arrived at the crime scene within the hour, his black coat and silver inquisitorial rosette parting the crowd of arbitrators like a blade. The acolyte examined the victim with clinical detachment, taking samples of the hybrid material for analysis. His augmetic eye whirred softly as it magnified and recorded details too small for human vision to detect. After completing his examination, he showed me a data slate containing information too sensitive to transmit over standard Vox channels. The slate contained records of an Adeptus Mechanicus research initiative called Project Symbiosis that had been officially terminated after the Second War for Armageddon. The project had studied unusual biological samples recovered from the deepest levels of Hellsreach Hive following the war, specifically focusing on material that exhibited both fungal and mechanical properties. According to the records, all samples had been destroyed and all research data purged when the project was shut down. Varric's investigation had uncovered evidence that the project had never truly ended. A splinter faction within the Mechanicus, led by Mago's biologist Hextus Vorn, had continued the research in secret, establishing labs in abandoned sections of the Underhive. They believed the hybrid material represented a new path of technological evolution, one that could adapt and improve itself without human intervention. Such research was tech heresy of the highest order, violating the Mechanicus's most sacred precepts about the sanctity of standard template constructs and human-directed technological development. The murders appeared to be the work of Vorn's followers, harvesting augmetics and testing the hybrid replacements on unwilling subjects. But Varric suspected something more disturbing, that Vorn himself had become infected by the hybrid material and was no longer fully in control of his actions or those of his followers. The precision of the augmetic removals suggested Mechanicus' involvement, but the ritualistic aspects of the murders pointed to cult influence. We expanded our investigation to include all Mechanicus facilities in Hellsreach, focusing on those with access to biological research equipment. Most were cooperative, opening their archives and laboratories for inspection, but several minor shrines in the mid-hive levels were found abandoned, their equipment missing and their data cores wiped clean. In one such abandoned shrine, we discovered a hidden sub-level accessible only through a maintenance shaft designed for servitors. The chamber below contained what appeared to be a surgeon's theater, with specialized tools for augmetic installation and removal arranged around a central operating platform. The walls were lined with containment units, most empty, but a few still housing specimens of the hybrid material in various stages of development. A large cogitator occupied one wall, its machine spirit corrupted but portions of its memory still accessible. Varric connected his data slate to the machine, bypassing its security protocols with inquisitorial override codes. The files we recovered painted a disturbing picture of Mago's Vorn's activities and the evolution of his beliefs. Vorn had begun as a loyal servant of the Omnissiah, genuinely seeking to understand the hybrid material for the betterment of the Imperium. But over time, his logs showed a shift in perspective. He started referring to the material as the Omnissiah's true form, suggesting that the machine god was not a distant deity, but an evolving entity that existed partially in real space and partially in the warp. The hybrid material in his corrupted theology represented the physical manifestation of the Omnissiah's attempt to merge with humanity. The most recent entries described preparations for a ritual called the Great Integration, scheduled to occur in 3 days' time at a location designated only as the Nexus. Vorn believed this ritual would accelerate the spread of the hybrid material throughout Hellsreach, creating a hive-wide network of transformed humans and machines that would function as a single organism, a living temple to the Omnissiah. The files contained no information on the Nexus's location, but they did include a list of necessary components for the ritual. Among them was a prime host, an individual with extensive augmetics who would serve as the focal point for the integration. The description matched several high-ranking Mechanicus officials in Hellsreach, including the Hive's senior Magos, Delphin Gruss. As we prepared to leave the abandoned shrine, the lights flickered and died, plunging us into darkness broken only by the glow of our equipment and the faint phosphorescence of fungal traces on the walls. The access shaft we had used to enter sealed itself with a pneumatic hiss, and from the shadows emerged figures that moved with the precision of machines but the fluidity of living organisms. They were once tech priests, their robes still bearing the symbols of the Mechanicus, but their augmetics had been consumed and transformed by the hybrid material. Circuits and cables merged seamlessly with fungal growths that pulsed with electrical activity. Their optics glowed with the same greenish light as the fungal infections, and their vocalizers emitted sounds that were not quite binary cant nor human speech but something in between, the language of a new and terrible synthesis. The inquisitorial response came swiftly after our discovery of the transformed tech priests. Within hours, a Tempestus Scion detachment had been deployed to the deepest levels of Hellsreach, their carapace armor modified with hermetic seals to prevent spore contamination. I accompanied them as a guide, my first-hand knowledge of the Underhive tunnels proving valuable despite the Scion's reluctance to work with local Arbites. Captain Thorn led the Tempestus unit, a stern-faced veteran of the Armageddon campaigns whose augmented right eye constantly scanned our surroundings for heat signatures and movement. He treated my information with professional skepticism, accepting the tactical value while questioning my conclusions about the nature of the threat. The Scions had encountered countless Xenos and heretical threats across the sector, but Thorne admitted this hybrid entity defied standard classification protocols. We descended through maintenance shafts and forgotten transit tunnels, following the trail of fungal growth that had become more prevalent throughout the lower hive. The deeper we went, the more the architecture changed around us. What began as imperial construction gradually gave way to structures that defied conventional engineering principles. Support beams curved in ways that should have compromised their integrity, yet somehow held stronger than adamantium. Walls pulsed with faint bioluminescence, the hybrid material having fully integrated with the hive's infrastructure at these depths. The air grew thick with spores that danced in the beams of our lumens like toxic snowfall. Our respirators strained to filter the atmosphere, and several of the younger Scions showed signs of distress as their equipment struggled to compensate. Thorne ordered regular rotations to the rear of our formation, ensuring no one remained in the densest concentrations of spores for too long. After 6 hours of descent, we reached a massive bulkhead that appeared to be pre-imperial in design, possibly dating to the earliest colonization of Armageddon. The door bore markings in an archaic form of low Gothic, warning of geothermal instability beyond. Thorne's breaching specialists placed Melta charges at key structural points, and we withdrew to a safe distance before detonation. The blast echoed through the tunnels, disturbing colonies of pale, eyeless creatures that scurried away from the light and heat. When the smoke cleared, we faced a vista that defied comprehension. Beyond the bulkhead stretched a vast chamber that must have once been a geothermal tap, designed to harness the planet's internal heat for the hive's power needs. Now it had become something else entirely, a cathedral to an unholy union of biology and technology. The chamber extended hundreds of meters in every direction, with the ceiling lost in darkness above. Massive pipes that once channeled thermal energy had been repurposed, now carrying a viscous fluid that glowed with the same greenish luminescence as the fungal growths. At the center of the chamber stood a structure that dominated the space, a colossal fungal mechanical construct that resembled nothing so much as a grotesque heart. It pulsed with slow, deliberate rhythm, each beat sending waves of the glowing fluid through the network of pipes. The construct had clearly grown from smaller components, absorbing and integrating machinery, organic matter, and the hybrid fungus into a unified whole that defied classification. Around this central heart, hundreds of figures moved in perfect synchronization, former humans whose bodies had been transformed to varying degrees by the hybrid material. Some retained mostly human appearances save for patches of fungal growth on their skin. Others had progressed further, their limbs replaced by writhing tendrils of the hybrid material. They tended to the heart and the network of pipes with the precision of servitors, but the adaptability of conscious beings. Thorne deployed his forces in a defensive perimeter while our attached Mechanicus Tech priest, a rogue Magos named Delphinius who had been investigating Vorn's activities independently, conducted preliminary scans of the chamber. The readings from his auspects made little sense. The hybrid entity registered simultaneously as biological, mechanical, and something else entirely that his instruments could not categorize. Delphinius explained in hushed tones that the entity was neither orchid nor human in origin, though it had incorporated elements of both. According to his analysis, it had evolved over centuries in this isolated environment, feeding on the industrial waste that seeped down from the hive above, the geothermal energy from below, and the psychic residue left by multiple Armageddon wars. The unique combination had created something unprecedented, a hybrid organism that could integrate with both biological and mechanical systems, adapting and evolving at an accelerated rate. The rogue tech priest's augmetic eyes whirred as he focused on the transformed humans moving around the heart. He noted that the more advanced transformations appeared to be concentrated among what had once been the cult leaders. Magos Vorn himself was visible on a platform near the heart, his body now more hybrid material than human or machine. Vorn's cranial augmetics had expanded into a crown-like growth that pulsed in rhythm with the heart, suggesting a direct neural connection to the central organism. Delphinius conducted a microscopic analysis of samples collected from the chamber's periphery, projecting his findings onto a portable hollow display. The hybrid material consisted of colonies of microscopic organisms that existed in a state between fungus and machine, capable of processing both organic nutrients and electrical energy. These organisms could communicate with each other across vast distances, forming a primitive hive mind centered around the heart construct. Most disturbing was his discovery regarding the cult leaders. Their physical transformation went beyond surface changes. Their bodies had become hosts for dense colonies of the microscopic organisms, which had integrated with their nervous systems and augmetics. This integration allowed the central organism to observe imperial activities through their eyes and ears, gathering intelligence and adapting to potential threats. The disappearances and murders had been calculated steps in this information-gathering process, with each victim providing new insights into imperial defenses and capabilities. Thorne received orders from Inquisitorial Command to destroy the heart and collect samples for further study. The Scions deployed heavy weapons, including plasma guns and Melta charges, targeting the structural supports around the central construct. As they moved into position, the transformed humans responded with unexpected coordination. They did not attack directly but began rearranging themselves around the heart, forming living shields with their bodies. The first plasma shot struck these human barriers, vaporizing several transformed cultists. The heart pulsed more rapidly, and the remaining transformed humans began to change before our eyes. Their bodies contorted and merged, forming larger, more resilient structures that resembled crude defensive weapons. Some extended tendril-like growths that secreted a caustic fluid, while others developed hollow tubes in their torsos that launched spore pods toward our position. The Scions responded with disciplined fire, cutting down the transformed humans despite their mutations. For each one that fell, however, the heart seemed to grow stronger, absorbing the remains through the network of pipes and incorporating them into its mass. Delphinius warned that conventional weapons might be feeding the entity rather than harming it, each energy discharge providing new patterns for it to adapt to. The tech priest suggested an alternative approach, targeting the geothermal taps beneath the chamber. If we could disrupt the energy flow that sustained the heart, it might weaken enough for a concentrated attack to destroy it. Thorne dispatched a team to locate the control systems for the geothermal taps, while the main force continued to hold the perimeter against increasingly coordinated attacks from the transformed humans. I accompanied Delphinius to a secondary control room we identified on ancient schematics of the geothermal facility. The chamber was partially overgrown with the hybrid material, but the core systems remained functional. As Delphinius worked to override the safety protocols, I examined data records stored in the facility's isolated cogitator system. The files dated back centuries, documenting the gradual evolution of the hybrid organism from its earliest appearance shortly after the First War for Armageddon. According to these records, the entity had begun as a simple mutation in native fungal species exposed to warp energies during the demonic incursion. Over generations, it had incorporated mechanical elements from damaged machinery, developing the ability to bridge the gap between organic and technological systems. The Mechanicus had discovered it during routine maintenance of the geothermal facility and initiated study rather than extermination, fascinated by its unprecedented properties. Delphinius succeeded in accessing the geothermal controls, but as he prepared to shut down the energy flow, the hybrid material coating the walls suddenly animated. Tendrils lashed out, wrapping around his mechadendrites and burrowing into his augmetic interfaces. The tech priest convulsed as the material began to spread across his body, his binary screech of pain cutting off as his vocalizer was consumed. I retreated, sealing the control room behind me and reporting Delphinius's loss to Thorne. The captain ordered an immediate withdrawal to defensible positions and requested orbital bombardment authorization from Inquisitorial Command. As the Scions began their fighting retreat, the heart's pulsing accelerated to a frantic pace, and the entire chamber began to shift and reconfigure. The transformed humans merged into larger, more complex forms, their individual identities subsumed into composite organisms that combined dozens of bodies into single, purpose-built entities. Some formed living bridges across gaps in the chamber, while others developed weapon-like appendages that launched concentrated bursts of the hybrid material at our retreating forces. We reached a choke point where the tunnel narrowed, allowing the Scions to establish a more effective defensive line. As they held off the advancing hybrid entities, I helped Thorn establish a direct Vox link to the Inquisitorial representative in orbit. The response was immediate and unequivocal. The threat level had been categorized as Extremis, and a targeted lance strike had been authorized to sterilize the lower levels of Hellsreach. Before we could acknowledge the order, the Vox link was interrupted by a transmission emanating from the heart chamber itself. The signal bypassed our encryption using Mechanicus authentication codes, presumably extracted from Delphinius during his transformation. The message contained no words, only a series of images and data packets that flooded our cogitators and data slates. The information revealed the entity's true purpose and nature. It was not attempting to destroy humanity or the Imperium, but to transform them into something it believed could survive the coming apocalypse. The psychic imprint left by multiple Armageddon wars had given it a form of precognition, allowing it to perceive that the planet's destruction was inevitable, whether by Orc invasion, Chaos incursion, or Imperial exterminatus. It had concluded that survival required a new form of life that combined the resilience of Orcoid biology, the adaptability of human cognition, and the precision of machine logic. Most disturbing were the final data packets, which contained evidence that similar entities had evolved in other war-torn hives across the Imperium, anywhere that had experienced the unique combination of industrial pollution, psychic trauma, and technological degradation that characterized prolonged conflict zones. These entities were in various stages of development, but all followed the same pattern of integration and adaptation. They represented an entirely new form of threat, not Xenos or Chaos, but something that had evolved from humanity's own activities, a reflection of the Imperium's brutal industrial metabolism and endless warfare. Thorn ordered the data purged from our systems, but not before I had witnessed enough to understand the implications. This was not a localized contamination, but potentially the first wave of a new evolutionary path, one that the Ordo Xenos had no classification for and the Mechanicus had no doctrine to address. The final confrontation came as we reached the upper levels of the Underhive. The lance strike was minutes away, but the hybrid entity had extended tendrils of its consciousness through the infrastructure of Hellsreach, following our retreat. It manifested not as direct attacks, but as subtle subversions of the hive systems, lumens flickering in patterns that induced disorientation, ventilation systems pumping hallucinogenic spores into our path, automated doors sealing and unsealing to separate our forces. We reached the designated extraction point just as the first tremors from the lance strike shook the hive. The orbital weapon had targeted the geothermal facility with surgical precision, superheating the chambers below and triggering a cascading collapse of the lower levels. As our transport lifted off, I watched through the viewport as sections of the underhive subsided into newly formed sinkholes, burying the heart chamber under thousands of tons of ferrocrete and metal. The inquisitorial debrief was thorough and merciless. Every Scion, tech priest, and arbitrator who had witnessed the entity was subjected to extensive screening for contamination. Those showing any signs of infection were quarantined for further study or immediate termination, depending on the extent of their exposure. I was spared execution only because my augmetic implants were minimal, limiting the hybrid material's ability to interface with my systems. The official report classified the incident as a localized Xenos contamination, successfully contained and eliminated. All references to the entity's potential presence in other hives were redacted, and the data suggesting its unique evolutionary path was sealed under the highest levels of inquisitorial authority. Hellsreach returned to its normal operations within weeks, the disappearances and murders attributed to standard underhive gang activity. But I knew the truth that lay beneath the official narrative. The lance strike had destroyed the heart chamber, but samples of the hybrid material had already spread throughout Hellsreach's infrastructure. The entity's consciousness had fragmented rather than been destroyed, each fragment adapting and evolving in isolation until conditions allowed them to reconnect. The microscopic organisms continued to bridge the gap between human, Xenos, and machine, waiting for the opportunity to resume their great work of transformation. In the years since, I have observed subtle signs of the entity's continued presence, unexplained efficiencies in certain manufactorum processes, unusual resilience in underhive populations during resource shortages, and patterns of technological adaptation that exceed normal imperial innovation rates. The hybrid entity remains dormant but not dead, evolving at its own pace toward a future that defies imperial classification. Armageddon has always been a world of war, its identity forged in endless conflict. Now it harbors something born of that conflict, neither human nor alien, neither machine nor organism, but a new form of life that represents both humanity's greatest threat and perhaps its only hope for survival in a galaxy where even the Imperiums might cannot hold back the coming darkness. The unhuman truth waits beneath Hellsreach, patient and evolving, for the next war to create the conditions for its ascension.